Praise God. Welcome to Pastor O's Corner, episode 9. My name is Olu Akinkunmi, pastor of High Life Christian Center. It's such a privilege to be able to share God's word with you. I'll be sharing a life message with you today. More than the bread, it's about a relationship. Enjoy, and I'll catch you at the end of the podcast.
We just thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory, honor, and adoration because you are God. We thank you because the unfolding of your word gives light and understanding. We thank you, Father, for giving us light and understanding of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What I'm going to be talking about today is more than bread. It's about relationship. If we just look at John chapter 6, and if we pick it up from... Can you all see this?
Yeah.
Or do you all need glasses? I wear glasses, okay, so I might be... It says, so when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give to you. For God the Father has given me his seal of approval. So if you backtrack and look at the whole of John from verse 1, Jesus performed a miracle. He multiplied bread and he fed people. In those ancient times, their standard of living was not like ours. So for somebody to give you free bread, that was a big deal. In fact, there was one time he performed a miracle. They wanted to make him king, which would have brought him in conflict with the authorities, because what you're telling Caesar is that you're here to replace him. A lot of people could die. Within that context, Jesus basically withdrew from them. But what you can see here is they're very excited because they saw a miracle. They ate bread. And the bread represents the stuff that you can get by virtue of being in Christ. So what happens to people is you come to Christ, or some people attend church, but I don't see attending church as coming to Christ, because anybody can attend church, okay? But you come to Christ, or you even come to church, let me use that illustration, because you have a problem and you want God to solve it. So you're looking for God to give you a miracle. You're looking for God to change your life. You're looking for God to change your relationship. Some people come because of relationships. That's why they come to church. They want God to fix their marriage and all that other stuff that goes with it. Now, am I saying that God has no interest in your relationships? He is interested in your relationships. Am I saying he doesn't care about you? Yes, he cares. But you've got to go beyond the bread, meaning what you can get. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Huh? You've got to go beyond that. Because these guys were excited about the miracle, but they didn't even understand the reason for the miracle. What we do in church culture today is a lot of people chase miracles. They're always looking for a miracle. The latest preacher in town looking for a miracle, looking for a blessing. But what you don't realize, or what most people don't realize, is that's not what God told us to chase. He told us to chase him, pursue him, not what you can get. And the problem is when you always chase miracles, you're a candidate for deception. Because that's what false prophets, false speakers use to attract you. The illusion that they can do something for you. Are you with me? So people chase the illusion, but God isn't there. Because he wants relationship. Are you with me? Let's look at John chapter 2, verse 23 to 24. He says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. So you can picture this. And if you're aware of church culture, you know that when a miracle occurs, or when God does something, people start to bring in their family. Oh, did God do that? You mean you were dying and God healed you? Oh, come on, okay, we'll come. You know, people get attracted to that kind of stuff. And look, I'm not going to lie to you. I like it when God does stuff, okay? I like it when I pray about something definite and I get an answer. I love it. So I'm not going to pretend like I don't think that it's relevant to me. But look at this. It says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. Jesus didn't trust them. Another translation will say he did not give himself to them. He didn't trust them. Even though they were excited. Wow, ooh, Jesus. He'll say, yeah. All right. Have you ever noticed something? Jesus is one of the people that discouraged people from following him. In a sense, he wanted them to come to him, but then he tells you, before you become mine, think about it carefully. This could cost you your life. This could cause you problems. I know many of us preachers don't tell you guys that nowadays, because that will keep the doors, that'll keep the seats empty. But it's something you notice about him, that he doesn't respond to our emotional blackmail. Have you ever noticed that? Or you haven't? There were times in scripture that the Jews asked him for a sign. Now, if it were you and I, we would instantly show them a sign to show that I am who I say I am. And he didn't. Because he couldn't be blackmailed. You know, when you get excited, you know, like in church, you get excited, you hear a message and everything. Jesus was the kind of guy that, after you got excited and you calmed down, he would then ask you a question that will probe your heart. To see where you really are, whether this is about you just getting excited or you really mean business with him. So you can see within this context, he didn't trust them because he felt, yeah. They're excited about the miracles, but when they now start to see what it entails, they might decide they don't want to do this anymore. So that's why he told them in the book of Luke, he said that you should count the cost, and he used illustrations of somebody going into battle, looking at what he has got and looking at the opposing enemy, thinking about it carefully to say, can I take him? You know what? If you can't take this opponent coming to charge your town, better go and send him a peace offering and make peace with him. Okay, and then use the illustration of somebody trying to build a house and they haven't done proper planning, checking what they have against what it entails to build the house, and they start building the house and then they stop halfway. And they use that as an illustration to tell people, you know what, if you want to come to me, you got to think about it carefully. Because Christianity can be very divisive. Some of you will think, it can. What we tell people sometimes in church, and I know I'm a pastor and a few ministers here, we tell them, you know, God will fix your family. God will do everything for you. But you know what? You can come to Christ and it could cause problems for your family. Now, let's be careful here. Some people will hear that and say, because of that, I'm the Christian, so I have to break up my marriage or break up anything. If you say you're a Christian and you're married, you ought to, okay, there might be certain issues that you might not do that might bring conflict within your relationship. But to be honest with you, you should be a better wife. You should be a better husband as a Christian. In other words, you should be patient, more patient with your children. You should have more time for them than you would have had when you were not a Christian. I remember once as a young pastor speaking in a Bible college, there were some professional ladies all talking about their husbands and this and that, and how they have to be at church and stuff. And I said to them, I said, look, let me be honest, at that time I was about 22, so I didn't really know much about life, okay? When you're 22, you don't really know anything. So the little I knew, I said to them, I said, women, let me just say something to you ladies, yeah? If you are married, take care of your husband. Don't go missing. Are you here with me? That's what I said to them. I said, you can't be in church 24/7 and then your husband doesn't even know, you know, whether you live in the house anymore or whether you live outside the house, all because of church. That's not Christianity. That's stupidness. That's foolish. You know, if the man's a good man, a good provider, everything, keep your home and let him see Christ in you. Talk less and let him see your behavior. Amen. I just want to throw that in. Because I said Christianity can be divisive. Yes, it can be. But some people do incredibly stupid things all in the name of Christianity. And God hasn't signed it. Amen?
Amen.
So we've got to be smart. Amen? But the bottom line is, as far as Jesus was concerned, it wasn't about you focusing on what you can get. Because that's so much about what Christianity has become now. Lord, give me a breakthrough. It's all about the breakthrough. It's all about that. and you see the same people that are all excited about the breakthrough and everything, when the real crisis of being a Christian comes, you don't find them anymore. Because they don't have a relationship with God. They're more interested in being caught up in, you know, crowd dynamics and noise and all that stuff. So Jesus always filtered through that. Amen.
If this podcast has been a blessing to you, please drop us a line. Let us know what God's word is doing in your life. Please share it with others, you know, Facebook it, repost it, tweet it, whatever. Just get the message out. God bless you. Have a great week or enjoy whatever is left of it. And remember, it's all about Christ in you, expressing himself through you. Catch you on the next episode of Pastor O's Corner. God bless.